Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live from Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, and for Chase McCabe. D-Mace, Willie Donick in the house. We've got a full house today. How are y'all doing?
What up, what up, what up? What's up to
good
my
morning,
man?
Guys.
We also got an intern Vase? Behind
is
the it, glass.
Is, what's your name, Vase or Gase?
It's Gase.
Gase? Hey, Gase, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, Gase. I just walked in, man. I'm sorry.
Gase, oh, you're McVay. Good.
Yeah.
You're the guy that played for the Jets, right?
Yes. I gave your cousin a jersey, man.
Cousin Chase. He's great.
Yes.
Yeah, new intern behind the glass. Really hope he doesn't mess things
He's
up.
He's from Montana. He's from Montana, people.
Montana.
Well, I mean, obviously the biggest story of the week is John Robinson has been fired by the Tennessee Titans. That's nothing new. It's something that we have covered in depth over the entire week. But even though we know what happened on the surface, we know the facts of John Robinson got fired and Ryan Cowden is taking over the GM duties until they find somebody to take that spot. But what we don't know, what we still don't know, is what happened. Why? I mean, Amy Adams Strunk released a statement on Twitter, said, you know, hey, we were not happy with the direction of the franchise. We were not happy with the direction of the roster construction. Okay, I understand. But still, why? Exactly what was it? What part of the roster construction? Why now? There are so many questions that I think I still have, I'll probably still have, a lot of Titans fans still have. And even when Mike Vrabel took to the podium earlier this week, I think that might have created a few more questions than it really did answer.
Yeah, because he didn't give, and rightfully so, he didn't give a definitive, you know, answer to why now. Not necessarily why, because obviously, you know, it's Amy's decision, but why now? And, you know, it seems as if he found out Tuesday morning, right before everybody else found out, or Monday evening,
the
day before. Yeah, that's the way he made it seem. Like, I was informed just, you know, not too long after you guys were informed. And you just wonder if that was the case. But, I mean, how will it affect this team moving forward? That's what I want to know. It's her team. She can fire who she right. wants to fire. Everybody just wants to know why now.
Why now?
And what is the plan moving forward? Who's in line? Are you going to try to keep it in-house? Are you going to try to go outside of the Titan facility? Will Ryan Cowden be in charge of the draft? Evaluating drafts as right after the playoffs? Because they're going to have to find a GM very quickly here. Because the draft is coming up. And this draft class, to me, is one of the most critical draft classes for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, it's key. And you have, you know, the Reese's Senior Bowl, the East-West Shrine Game, opportunities for scouts to go out and look for, you know, future NFL talent. But you bring up, Mike Vrabel said that he found out Monday night, Tuesday morning, probably around the same time that we did. That's what he said. And I can only take a man by his word. You say, what's coming up next? I mean, do you think that Vrabel plays a very key part in that? But what I also think Vrabel could potentially play a key part in is how we got to this point, how Amy Adams Strunk has gotten to this point with John Robinson, because we now have three examples from national talking heads, at least that I'm aware of saying that Vrabel may have played a bigger part of this than maybe he let on in his press conference or maybe we initially anticipated. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, spoke on this on Tuesday.
Look, I continue to maintain power struggle. Vrabel won.
Yeah.
AJ
like
Brown.
That. Right.
Catalyst. Because, Chris, they've done nothing to put out any other story. There's been no effort to push back against those of us who would say, well, they didn't see eye to eye. Mike Vrabel's won enough games that he's got the juice now. And between Julio Jones, because I don't know what other disagreements they've had, but I guarantee you Mike Vrabel didn't want Julio Jones in Tennessee. Right. That wasn't his call, as evidenced by the fact that he was nowhere to be seen or heard from when they made that trade. And he was vindicated. A.J. Brown, we know. We have the visual evidence. Clear and obvious that Mike Vrabel was not happy that A.J. Brown was traded. And on Sunday, he was vindicated. Chris, I think it's as simple as they get their asses kicked by A.J. Brown and the Eagles on Sunday. On Monday, Amy Adams Strunk decides John Robinson's got to go, but I'll sleep on it. And she did. And Tuesday morning, John Robinson went. And there has been nothing, no effort whatsoever by the Titans to tell anyone who may be saying that they're off base. So we're on base. We are right on the money. Sometimes the simplest explanation is the right one. More often than not, the simplest explanation is the right one. And the simplest explanation here is Vrabel versus Robinson. Vrabel 1, Robinson 0.
All right, now, let me ask the important question. Anytime you have a very strong reporter like Mike Florio, who is a very strong reporter.
That he is.
When he says something like that,
mm-hmm.
is it informed? Or is that his take based on just from where he sits? There's two different things there, right? Those are two different things. It can be him kind of reading the tea leaves mm-hmm. and saying, I'm experienced in reading the tea leaves, and this is what I'm reading. Or he's got a source that's telling him, yeah, there was a power struggle, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's the first question I always ask when you have an outsider. Mm-hmm. And it could be any outsider, but this guy's got some clout, right? This guy's on the Sunday night telecast. This guy's broken stories before. But based on what he said, I can't tell 100% if he's got an inside source there.
Well, it's just like anything else. He said it. Because you have not definitively come out and said anything about it, it's up to our interpretation.
Exactly.
We
all
can
have
throw
to guess.
Anything
we
against
all
the
have
wall.
To guess.
Florio can
table.
Exactly. Florio can throw the A.J. Brown against the
right.
wall, and it's going to stick.
And that,
why?
In my opinion,
because
that's what I
exactly.
believe he was doing. He
because,
was guessing.
Because they hadn't said nothing. We can throw the, hey, listen, it's the draft picks in the free agency against the wall. It's going to stick. Why? Because she hadn't said anything. So anything that we say as of now, it's almost like, okay, it's valid because nobody's debunking it at all. Nobody's coming out saying anything at all other than her statement.
And I'm glad that you bring that up because it wasn't just Mike Florio that mentioned that this might be a Vrabel move, that this could be a power struggle. And he's not the only one that cited A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Albert Breer took to Monday Morning Quarterback yesterday and was asked about the move by a Titans fan. Now, keep in mind, mm-hmm. Albert Breer, Boston guy. Mike Vrabel, Boston guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Albert Breer has to say. He says, I had it theorized to me by more than one NFL person on Tuesday, people who know both guys well, that it's possible that this was just a case of a partnership between two alphas in Vrabel and Robinson running its course. There was clear and public disagreement over the A.J. Brown trade, which I don't think it was clear and public disagreement, but I'll continue. Mm-hmm. Says the deal for Julio Jones, in which Vrabel got a player who physically couldn't practice, rubbed against the culture that Vrabel built too. And there are other examples that, on a surface level, could have generated friction between the two. So it's not just Florio who, interestingly mm-hmm. enough, cited Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, which were probably the biggest, most marquee moves that the Titans have made
right.
over the past
two
couple
big ones,
of years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Albert Breer is also mentioning that too.
He's mentioning, but what words did he use? Theorized.
Theorized.
Right? Theorized. And
by
could
more
have.
Than one NFL person.
Right. But theorized is the key.
That's
like
true.
That's not like hardcore info. Now, I admire that all these guys are they're starting
I don't
to
think
try to
get
dig
hardcore info.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying when we read these, we gotta understand, is this somebody reporting a direct
mm-hmm.
source from the inside? Mm-hmm. I mean these I'm sure he's what happens in these situations, right? People bounce stuff around like an Albert Breer. Mike Florio, they're going to start calling people like, hey, what do you think? What happened mm-hmm. over there? What do you think? And they're going to get a consensus. But they're talking about it like we're talking about it. There's a difference between that And these are all educated guesses, right? Mm-hmm. We're making educated guesses mm-hmm. based on what
we
think. That's all we can do. But I still haven't seen anybody come in and say, this is the story. I talked to a source. I talked to a source inside the building, mm-hmm. and it was this. You know, that we haven't really had that yet.
Well, I mean, you can go again. We can go to the A.J. Brown. We can go to the Julio Jones and say, well, yeah. this is why she made her decisions. Well, it's to me, it has to be more than that. It has to be some things that have led up to the A.J. Brown. It can't just be, again, I don't want to believe that the owner of the Tennessee Titans is a owner that will make a knee-jerk reaction. She'll watch a game on Sunday, be pissed off, and come in, you know, Tuesday, Monday night, and say, I'm firing John. That's it. I'm not. This is not about, you know, Mike Vrabel. This is not about Todd Downing. This is not about Shane Bowen. Nobody. I'm firing John Robinson. By the way, you know, it's hard to find a really good GM. So you're just going to fire a good GM in hopes to find another really good GM. Finding a coach in the GM is totally different, okay? So to me, if you're going to go down that road, you got to bring up, they don't have Jack Conklin anymore, who was an all-pro at one point. You didn't sign him back. You didn't sign Corey Davis back, nor Jonnu Smith. These are guys that were key to your winning, key to your AFC championship appearance. All these guys that we're mentioning that are here no longer. Caleb Farley's hurt. Isaiah Wilson is not here any longer. Guys that have.
Where is Isaiah? By
I don't
way.
Know.
Do we know?
I hope he's safe. I really
he
do.
He's making a rap album.
Yeah, he put out an album about a year ago, and it was truly awful.
Oh my goodness.
I listened to it in its entirety.
Congratulations.
Hey, truly awful.
He's the panda. It was he was trash panda.
Oh my! I didn't know that, y'all. I'm a
play for you at the break.
You learn something every day, but
like I said, anything is on the table.
But you gotta. My thing is, why aren't you going back to all of that? You know, you're saying she made a decision based on A.J. Brown, not us. But I'm just saying, people are now saying, well, it was a power struggle. He wanted A.J. He mad he got traded. He didn't want Julio Jones, so all of a sudden, Miss Amy woke up after the game and said, John Robinson, you're gone. Even though we were horrible before you got here, we're on the right track, you're gone. It had to be more than just the A.J. Brown. To me, it was a buildup.
Yeah.
If you're going to say you're going to fire him right now, it's a buildup of every year there has been misses at the first round with the first round pick just about every year.
That's what's mystifying about the 5-year extension.
Uh-huh.
Because
exactly.
All of that happened, most 95% of that happened mm-hmm. before the extension. Now, let me challenge one thing that I think it was Albert Breer that said. Two alpha dogs. There's no question in my mind who has the power. Mike Vrabel has the power. He's the coach of the year. He is an alpha dog. He's got clout more than John Robinson. Mm-hmm. I don't think John Robinson is an alpha dog, though. Do you guys think so? He was not like, hey, look at me. Look at all the great things I'm doing.
I don't think Mike Vrabel is
the same
way.
He knew his place.
But I think that in the way that they conduct business, mm-hmm. and also think about where John Robinson came from in New England, those are all very much so keep it close to the chest, just conduct your business, put your head down and do your job. And I think mm-hmm. that's kind of the way that John Robinson conducted his business. But Albert Breer, Mike Florio, each saying, hey, this was a power struggle, cited the A.J. Brown and Julio Jones trades as reasons why friction was growing between Mike Vrabel and John Robinson. But they weren't the only ones. So did Mike Vrabel play a bigger role in this move in John Robinson's firing than we expected? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
To me, I don't know how this is anything other than a Mike Vrabel move. I mean, I really don't. And so whether that, you know, there have been, you know, multiple things that have kind of gone along that have been, you know, there have been disagreements on where, you know, he, I don't want to say lost out, but look, I think you could go back and let's just say, like, all right, Isaiah Wilson, like, where was everybody on Isaiah Wilson? Like, where, okay, like, this is where everyone was on it, okay? A.J. Brown, okay, where was everybody on A.J. Brown, okay? Where was, you know, and just, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether it's, what was the kid's name? Fowler. You know, where was everyone on him? Was it like, you know, you just start to go down the list and be like, all right, here's the thing. we've been together long enough. Where were we on all those things? What does that mean for the relationship? And then, you know, also, like, I guess if you're, you know, if you're Mike Vrabel and you feel like, you know, you don't see eye to eye on that stuff, then, you know, you start making a move on it. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think there's any shot that this happens during the year. You know, like this type of timing, if it's not driven by Mike Vrabel.
Okay. That was Tim Hasselbeck on Chase Willey and D-Mace yesterday. And I believe when he says Fowler, I believe he means Caleb Farley. But the point remains, it was a questionable draft pick. But he says, because we've been questioning the timing all week long. Why now? Why not just wait until the end of the season? What big moves is the general manager going to make from now until February? Tim Hasselbeck says, it doesn't happen in the middle of the year unless it's a Vrabel-motivated move. So now that's three national pundits between Mike Florio, Albert Breer, and Tim Hasselbeck who are all looking at Vrabel and saying that this was a move that was motivated by him.
Once again, it's an educated guess from an experienced point of view, but I don't think with any inside sources. Doesn't mean they're wrong. Does not mean they're wrong. And remember, when we're trying to guess and speculate on something that has never happened before. It is unprecedented that a first place team that has had as much success as they've had fires the GM in the middle of the season. It's one thing to do it after the season, but just keep this in perspective. It has never happened before. That's why it's such a mystifying thing. And the other part of this that I think is interesting, and there's been some stuff. I heard a Rex rant this morning. And he was talking about a tweet from Steve Hutchison, and I noticed it. I know Steve a little bit through Hal Gill, who's one of his closest friends, Hall of Fame offensive lineman, right? Finished his career with the Titans. And he was talking about how a lot of times the media is left in the dark, right? And in a market like New York, right, you've got so many people covering the team at so many angles that it's harder to keep your guard up and not let information out. But in a market like Nashville, I think that's been sort of the tradition. Teams really close the ranks, and they try to keep things in-house and not let anything seep out. And it's harder, especially when you had 2 years where you basically couldn't get around the team with the COVID restrictions, right? So it was hard to get sources inside the building and stuff like that. But a team really has a choice. They can try to keep the media completely in the dark. Or there are ways, if you want to get your message out there, if Mike Vrabel wanted it out there, that he was displeased with John Robinson, there are ways to do that without saying it to everybody in a big media scrum. Am I right? I
mean, No. Your way.
Like a veteran coach knows how to get to a source, get to whether it's a national guy or a local person, to say, you know what, not real happy with what's going on here. And that writer will then say, you know, there's way that happens in New York and big markets all the time.
And it used to happen here, but then they hired the guy that they always did that. I mean, like, that's the truth. The smartest, but also a move that I think hurt them was hiring Jim Wyatt to work for the team.
That's a very good point. And as Joe mentioned,
and that's
this morning,
no disrespect to anybody that's covering the team now, but Jim was the best.
A great traditional beat writer who built up the trust. The sources over a long period of time.
Which
as Joe pointed out, with the newspaper business and the way media is right now, there's such a shuffle in beat writers. There's not that kingpin go-to source like there was in the traditional way back when you were playing, Derek, how teams were covered in general. So that's a big part of why teams, I think, have said, you know what? We could probably keep this a secret.
Well, it's hard to keep stuff a secret nowadays. I mean,
we don't really have to have any go in front of the media.
Else.
Nobody's going to like it, but we don't have to do it.
But back to Treylon Burks, whenever he was on and off the field in training camp, and we were all thinking, okay, what's going on here? Is he out of shape? Allergies? Remember that conversation? Asthma? We had all of these stories and rumors that were going around. We were reaching out to Fayetteville beat writers like, hey, was weight an issue when he was at Arkansas? Because we weren't getting any guidance. And I could tell from inside the Titans organization, they got frustrated from those rumors.
Well, the receiver coach got frustrated.
As soon as Rob said, hey, it's asthma, we were like, okay, cool, thanks.
That's all you had to say.
That's all you had to say.
Well, I mean, yes. And the Titans have been really good at trying to keep or keeping things close to the vest and, you know, not allowing things to sort of get outside of that building, you know, in waves. You know, things trickle out with every organization. But I think the Titans, you know, their mission is to keep everything that goes on in-house. And, you know, we will allow what we want to get out. We will allow it to get out. But if you look at, because looking at this season and how it's went for the Titans, we understand that this is a average roster. Has, you know, an elite player. He's declining somewhat, but he's an elite player. And Derrick Henry, we have another on defense, and Jeffrey Simmons, and he's ascending, and it's great. Hopefully they can sign him back. But I'm trying to figure this out. Why did Vrabel, after losing to the Eagles, which many thought you were going to lose to the Eagles anyway by 10 points or more. I think, what was the line? 7, 8 points, somewhere around there?
Somewhere in there,
he's
yeah.
8.5.
Why after the Philadelphia game and not after the Kansas City Chiefs game or the Cincinnati game that you get on a podium and say, we are at a crossroads right now? And don't elaborate on it, really, but this team is at a crossroads. I think that message was straight to two people. That message was to John Robinson, and that message was to Amy Adams Strong. We're at a crossroads. Something needs to be done. It's either my way or his way. And if it's his way, I'm gone. I'm the coach of the year. You going to let me leave? Seriously? If you let me leave, I will have a job the next day.
But I don't know if it has to be that demonstrative in that moment.
I'm just saying.
It could have been. But
I'm just saying, you know. When you do something like that, that's what you're telling people. Yeah. Like, for no other reason do you come out and say we're at a crossroads. You should have said we're at a crossroads when you lost the week before against Cincinnati.
And I think that Mike Vrabel knows, along with many other coaches in the league, they know how to manipulate the media or use the media as a tool to their disposal. And Mike Vrabel, I believe, views it as, if I want to tell you something, if I want you to know something, I'll let you know. But if I don't want you to know anything, you're not going to find out. We're going to keep that in-house. And I don't think anyone, and especially Mike Vrabel, I'm not going to call it reporting, if the speculation from Mike Florio, Albert Breer, Tim Hasselbeck, and I'm sure plenty others, is this was a Mike Vrabel-motivated move.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed that is fact, I'm not saying it is, if it is, you think Mike Vrabel wants that to get out? They're not going to tell you. And that's the reason why we haven't heard, you know, specifics behind exactly what happened. We can speculate, you know, some bad draft picks over the past couple of years, bad signing of Julio Jones, the trade for AJ Brown looks pretty bad right now. But they're not going to tell you.
Well, I agree with you. I think that's the art of all coaches, is knowing what I want out there, knowing what I don't want out there, and how do I go about that, right, without – You know, Jeff Fisher had his way of doing it. Floyd Reese had his way of doing it. Peter Laviolette had a different way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Barry Trotz would pour his heart out and talk for a long, long time. There's different coaches do it different ways. But I think what's really interesting to me is there's different ways. Like, here's what Mike Vrabel said at the press conference. He said he talked to John Robinson. He's appreciative that John Robinson gave him the shot.
I'm sure he is.
What can I pass along to the team? That was... So he really went, this is what he did say, right? Mm-hmm. This wasn't something he kept close to the vest. He wanted it out there that he's still on good terms with John Robinson.
Of course he
did. So if he's saying that and then the real story is he won a power struggle, that's two very different things. Now, there's different ways of sort of letting it play out. Rather than bust into Amy Adams' trunk office and say, I've had enough. We don't have a good enough roster. We can't win right now with these guys. I'm fed up. What are we going to do about it? But there's also kind of over time, instead of stepping up and defending your GM, when you're the one that has the power, right, he could protect John Robinson. He could say something to those questioning, saying, hey, you know, give John a little break here. Not everybody gets everything right. He's done a lot of good things. I think it maybe has gone from that to a little bit more of sort of just letting it be known just by your lack of action that you're not quite as confident in him as you were a couple years ago or even a few months ago. Is that fair to say? Like, there's,
I mean,
like,
we could say anything right now.
Exactly. I'm just throwing out theories. We're all throwing out theories. But I think Mike Vrabel had the power, to go into Amy Adams' office and saying, hey, Amy, let's not do anything rash here. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's the middle of the season. Do not fire this guy in the middle of the season. Nobody's ever done that before. Now, we'll reevaluate after the season. If you're not happy with what he's doing, but we don't need this now.
He's in CYA.
He could have done CYA that. But he could have done that. Am I right? He had the clout to do that if he wanted to do
but
it.
But if he had the clout to do that, don't you think he also had the clout to go into Amy's office and say, this isn't working anymore? If he has the clout and the power to save John Robinson's job, he could also have the clout and power for him to lose it. But that's what I'm going to get into coming up next. And the people have theories as well. So we are right to your phones coming up next. Chase William Demas is presented by Hair Club, where you grow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. Predators fall in Tampa last night, a 2-2 game into the third period. They fall 5-2. Back in action tomorrow in Smashville at 12:30. An early start against the Ottawa Senators, a big game. A lot of hockey coming up in the month of December at Bridgestone Arena. So, Lee Company, a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators coverage on our station, and, of course, when you go down and watch a game at Bridgestone or any event at Bridgestone Arena, you'll see the Lee Company display. Lots of great services that they provide, including general maintenance. I always say it on Fridays. You're wanting to get out of your office, or you want to be done with your workday, but maybe you're in charge of a maintenance issue and it's been lingering. You've been putting it off. Just make one quick phone call to Lee Company and get those guys on it. They'll do it. 615-567-1000. General maintenance, indoors, outdoors, floors, ceilings, doors, windows, whatever it is. 615-567-1000 or go to leecompany.com. You can make an online appointment and then your job is done. You can get to the games you want to go to tonight. You can get the heck out of Dodge and leave work and start your weekend. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Hey, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Let's go to your phones. As promised, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe in Nolensville is up next.
My gosh, finally. I mean, you guys just, you make me sit there on hold the whole show. It really hurts my feelings.
You sound a lot like that grouchy guy on the morning show on this station.
Exactly. The guy that has rented out his head free to Jared. Is that you?
Jared's saving a lot of money on my
he's saving a lot of money.
And by the way, D-Mace, you'll appreciate this this story. I don't know if you remember Tim Stout, long time media guy from Lansing. One day he was like ranting about Michigan State basketball, and he got a call from Judd from East Lansing. comment on your commentary, then Tim. Anyway, I wanted to call in because you guys are having a really good discussion, and you played those clips. At some point, definitely play the Charles Robinson clip that we had earlier on our show, because I think Willie brought up a good point. Is this, are you reporting something with a source, or are you kind of reading tea leaves? Charles came to us and made it very clear, reporting from inside the building. And this is kind of why I got so mad on the show earlier. And I understand it. Like, we're all looking for, like, what's the story? And it's been, believe me, it's been all week for me and for a lot of people. Who cover this team, and I can't speak for anyone else, but I will anyway. I think a lot of people have talked to a lot of people. I can tell you that I have, and I have people in that building who tell me things at times, and I feel like a pretty good breadth of, because, you got people who, maybe at times aren't going to tell you the whole story, but you got to be able to also talk to people who aren't afraid of that or have different interests, right? I mean, it's a complicated web, but essentially, like, I feel pretty confident in saying at this point, like, the reason this is the way it is because it's a very contained situation. I mean, it's Amy Adams Strunk's decision. And you know what, Caroline, you're right. Maybe Vrabel explicitly came out and said him or me, or he stinks or whatever. But I think it's more what Willie was saying, which is, I mean, he's kind of, not only has he not really, like, defended him publicly, but there's been some expressions of public displeasure. And it doesn't necessarily take more than that. If you're Amy Adams Strunk, And Mike Vrabel is a star in the profession. And yes, there are potential other organizations you could be interested in him. And he's clearly doing a better job than John Robinson. And now he's clearly frustrated. And you know that he didn't like the AJ trade. Like, it doesn't necessarily take Vrabel actually taking part in a football movie scene of, like, him or me for Eminem Strunk to come to this decision, right? So, anyway, I just think it's an interesting discussion. And I just, like, on behalf of everyone who covers the Titans, I get people being frustrated. Like, why don't you have the story? But I feel pretty confident at this point in saying, and not just from guessing, from talking to a ton of people, that, like, it's really contained, and it's like Amy did what she did. And, again, there could maybe she was on the phone with John Robinson and said, well, Amy, find someone better, and there you go. And then it becomes this abrupt firing. I don't know, and I may never know, but people searching for all these things, like someone who shall remain nameless right now. Like, I think we're
somebody who got on your nerves this week?
End that now. Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. But, yeah, play the Charles clip. I mean, Charles, I'm biased, but Charles is, to me, as strong an NFL reporter with sources at every single city as there is covering this league right now. I mean, he had a lot of stuff on the whole COVID thing that no one else had as well. And I think it's just a lot more simple than some people want to believe it is.
Thank you for your call, Joe in Nolensville.
I'm talking about your clothes.
Thank you.
And I think that you, Joe, and Willie bring up fair points. Do you know something? Is it reporting or is it speculation? But I go back to Kirk Herbstreit, for example, went on, I believe it was SportsCenter and maybe First Take, a show on ESPN and said, I think Texas and Oklahoma might join the SEC. And I thought, is he reporting that?
Mm-hmm.
Or does he just think that? Is that really just something right. that just came into his head? A few days later, it's leaked by a Texas A&M beat writer that Texas and Oklahoma are joining the SEC. And so at least there you have a tangible something to say, oh, well, Kirk Herbstreit knew something that we mm-hmm. didn't know. And that's what I have to wonder with Florio, Breer, with Hasselbeck yesterday. Do they know something? Or is it just speculation? And I think either is valid.
Yeah.
But we had the Charles Robinson clip that Joe was referencing. All right, here's Charles Robinson.
You know, after I had a chance to talk to a few people, it was clear that he didn't. That this was not, you know, Mike Vrabel's decision. This wasn't, it wasn't similar to anything Bill O'Brien had done in Houston, which was really interesting to me. And, you know, what I was told, and it's remarkably vague, the information that's sort of been shared about this whole thing is just that there was a disconnect that developed between ownership and John, and that there was some frustration about it, and that, you know, it wasn't like it was all what happened with A.J. Brown, but that was definitely a factor, the way that that trade, you know, happened. And, you know, John's track record with some free agency decisions, obviously some draft picks, did not help. And, you know, I don't know. It's not been adequately explained to me why the timing worked out the way that it did, or, you know, considering sort of what John's contract situation was coming into the season, why, you know, why all of a sudden this just developed now. But I do think that, again, what was shared with me was there was just an element of frustration in terms of ownership and the involvement they had with sort of the planning and execution of, you know, how the team was taking shape and some of the decisions that were ultimately made.
Okay, so per Charles Robinson, it was frustration between ownership and John Robinson.
And I think that's where we are trying to figure it out, or we're getting, you know, where the frustration comes with, whether it be the fans, some fans, not all fans, some fans are just like, hey, he's gone, good riddance. But then there are some fans that are like, you know, listen, why now? Not necessarily. It's not the why you fired him, it's the why now.
Yes.
You know,
that's the
why
part.
You fired him can be exactly what Robinson said. You know, what he said. It was just it became apparent that ownership and John were butting heads. Okay, we get it. But it's the why now is the question. Why now do you fire him? And that you haven't given. You know, yeah, you've came out with a press release and said, you know, vaguely these are some things, but that's almost universal. Like, I can take that, you know, go down the street, you know, to Indianapolis and hand it to Irsay, and he can say the same thing about his GM when and if he ever does fire him. It could be the same thing. So it's for us, it's not necessarily you fired him. But why now with five games left and it can cause a distraction for your team and you're an organization that preaches we do not allow distractions to come into this building, especially during the play week. But why would you do that knowing that it will cause a distraction? Yes. You fired him. You can do that. It's your team. That's okay. Everybody gets fired. You better make sure you get a GM that can be better than John Robinson, because if you don't, those people are going to stop coming through those gates over at the stadium. They are. They're going to
pee. $500 million
exactly.
On the line for a new stadium?
So you can fire John. That's cool, you know. But why now? Why with five games left? I think that's what really people want to know. Like, a lot of people want to know the why now.
I 100% agree that the biggest part of the story is the timing. Mm-hmm. Now, it's never happened before. It's never happened before. A team in this position firing the GM. That's why I don't think Vrabel stormed in there and said, mm-hmm. we got to do something, we got to do this right now. I don't think so. It's much more likely.
But do you
that
think
what
the,
Robinson said is
do y'all
is the
think
way to go.
The crossroads, this team is at a crossroads, that reference right there, that may have struck a nerve with Amy Armstrong. That may have struck a nerve after the game. Why are we at a crossroads?
Unless Amy Adams Strunk knew what the crossroads
were.
Yeah,
you're right.
Unless this was something that was building up over time, because the Julio trade, the A.J. Brown trade, the bad draft picks, those aren't anything new.
We all knew about those things.
He was just irritated by the Philadelphia game. But coming up next, we are right back to our phones, I promise. And hey, be sure to follow us on Instagram at 1025 The Game Nashville. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. We are right to your phones, as promised. Paul has been waiting very patiently. What's up, Paul?
Hey, everybody. I have a theory on why now that I've not heard floated out there that I'd love to get your guys' opinion on.
Let's hear it.
It has really nothing to do with Mike Vrabel. It has nothing to do with A.J. Brown either, but it does seem simple and logical to me. And I'm not trying to compare in any way, shape, or form, like, what I do to NFL-related anything. But I handle real estate investments for pretty sizable investors. If I were to use them without their permission to negotiate with a subcontractor, they would lose their mind about all of them. If I were to say, hey, what you've done or built or installed is beautiful, I don't know where we're going to get the money to pay you. If I were to do that without their sign-off, every single one of them would be really, really upset. And what I do doesn't play out in the media. If that was a conversation with Jeffrey Simmons that then played out in the media between John Robinson and him about, hey, we want to sign you, we don't know where we're going to get the money to pay you, and he did that without Amy's permission, basically flinging her under the bus as to why he's not resigned, I wonder how many of her friends would have to see it and make a joke like, oh, Amy, what happened? Did you lose your shirt in Bitcoin? Why can't you pay Big Jeff? Before she got real, real, real mad.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Paul. Thank you for your call. I think it's an interesting thing to bring up, because when I read that in the Athletic article, he's referencing Jeffrey Simmons, mm-hmm. the Athletic article, he said that in contract negotiations with the Titans, they said, we don't know where we're going to get the money in some form or
yeah.
fashion. Mm-hmm. Basically, we don't know where we're going to get
the money. That was the quote that jumped out. It was a really good article. It was a long article. Excellent article from a lot of angles, but that was the quote. That was the first thing people noticed.
What? Like, you're going to tell that to somebody that you're in negotiations with, that you want to pay them, but you don't know where the money's coming from? I don't think that that's going to be – and first of all, I don't know who that came from, whether it's John Robinson or from the horse's mouth herself, Amy Adams.
Well, it was a quote from the people that are representing – Jeffrey Simmons, if
but
I remember
where,
correctly.
Whoever they heard that from, whether it was John Robinson that told Jeffrey Simmons people, we don't know where the money's coming from, or if it was Amy Adams Strunk.
It certainly sounded like it came from, like, who else would be doing that if it weren't Robinson?
Most likely Robinson.
In talking about contracts, unless he delegated somebody else to
most
do that.
Most likely Robinson. Yeah. But if Amy fired John Robinson because of that, because, to the caller's point, they were embarrassed over things that her friends may have said, I think that that is a pretty rash overreaction.
But, of course, we have seen in history a George Steinbrenner, a Jerry Jones, some of the outlandish owners, like they have wielded their power irrationally sometimes. It does happen. George Steinbrenner would be the headliner. That's not been her track record, right? Not very often. I think Joe referenced that they fired the special teams guy several years ago. I mean, if that's the only example you come up with, I think she's been pretty level-headed, and she has been rightfully so praised for how she has taken over, taken the reins, and moved the team in the right direction. But it has come up a few times about in this day and age of the NFL where you have these massive signing bonuses that help you maybe manipulate the salary cap, the Adams family, going back to the start, it's one of the old guard family-owned teams where you don't have the deep pockets. Like, I'm a huge Mets fan, right? What's the big story in baseball? Steve Cohen comes in. He's got more money than you can count. Mm-hmm. He's wielding money all over the place. He's spending more than anybody's ever spent before, and they have no salary cap. Mm-hmm. They have a luxury tax. So he's just saying, I'll just pay the luxury tax. He's got that kind of money. Not every owner and not every team has that. And in football, that's true as well, right? I don't think Amy Adams can sit there and write checks for whatever amount, build her own stadium, you know, that not that kind of wealth, right? She owns the team. The team's worth a ton. But that's a little different than the what do they call it, the liquidity, you know, the ability cash, to really have the deep pockets. You not everybody's on the equal playing field.
Right.
Remember, Chris Mortensen was the one. You were on the show last year when we were talking about A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Mortensen said there are teams that can more easily write a huge signing bonus check than others, and that does allow you to manipulate the salary cap. And I had never thought of that before until he said that, but I do think that makes sense.
Yeah, because when you have to redo those deals, that's real cash that you have to dish out.
Yeah, you got to have it in the bank.
Exactly. And that's why we always reference, you know, the salary cap is fake, because you can manipulate however you would like, but that's also up to the owner, because the owner has to write a check for however much you are changing, you know, contracts in order to make room on the salary cap. Go back to your phones. Adam in Portland's up next. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Miss Caroline. So this is what I've thought a lot about this. This is what I kind of compare it to. Have you ever met someone where you're like, he's a pretty good dude, but he's a horrible husband? Like, he's just not good at it. He's not attentive. He's not everything you need. Well, that's what I picture J-Rob at with the Titans organization and the fans. Like, he's messed up so much, like, in this marriage that you're like, he really, really needs to try to figure it out. And then AJ coming in and killing us was like giving us a vacuum cleaner on Christmas. Like, it was like the worst thing he could have possibly done in that moment. So I see it as like a huge buildup of a bad spouse, and just, you know, had to end it at that point because it was like the last straw.
Do you know anybody that has given a vacuum cleaner for people?
I hope. I don't know anybody, but man, I hope you don't give, unless she wants it or he wants it, then yeah, you buy it.
I gave my mom a carpet shampooer for Christmas one time, but she asked for it.
Yeah, but she asked for it. Yeah. So you do it.
Son of the year. I do know somebody who gifted liposuction for Christmas, unasked for. So
that
might be even worse. Wow. Than a vacuum cleaner. But that's, anyways, message received. to Adam's point, I understand that John Robinson made some bad draft picks. The Julio signing was bad. The AJ Brown trade right now where it stands looks bad. But we can't let the recency bias of some of the bad overshadow a lot of the good that John Robinson did. This team was 3-13 when John Robinson took over, and the Titans have yet to have a losing season with him at the helm. So to Adam's point about, you may have gifted some really bad gifts on Christmas, but overall—
But not a vacuum cleaner.
Not a vacuum cleaner.
You haven't given
overall,
that vacuum
cleaner.
But overall,
you love her, you support her, and you're—
He did some good things.
He did some good things.
A lot of good things.
And I'm surprised that this move happened. If it happened at the end of the season, I still would have been surprised. John Robinson is a good GM who's made some bad moves.
61% winning percentage over a long period of time.
He's in
top 10 in the league with an AFC championship game appearance, two division titles, probably a third this year. So let's keep perspective here. He's not the worst ever. He's not. And, I, you know, as crazy as Jared can be, he has pointed out, he's brought up the names, Mike Reinfeldt, Rustin Webster. Do a little comparison there.
Yeah, you don't
it's
want to be
not
those
even
guys.
Close about roster building. Yeah, they screwed up a lot of stuff. They got some stuff right.
And also, while the marquee moves AJ, Julio, Caleb Farley, Isaiah Wilson. Let's not forget about like rounds 4 through 7 that John Robinson has killed it on. Let's not forget about some of the practice squad signings that have been big contributors to this team, at least over the past couple of years. So I hear you. I understand that fans are frustrated with some of the moves that John Robinson made, but let's not act like it has been all bad or not all pretty, because in J-Rob we trust was a saying for a very long time that I think a lot of Titans fans subscribe to. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls and your texts. But first, we got to talk to Preds radio analyst Hal Gill. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.